Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Sure. Mayor in Ohio suggested during a city council discussion on ice fishing safety that the winter activity could lead to prostitution.
Oh, boy. Could. Not always, but could.
I will bet that he had some explaining to do to his wife when he got home.
Right. Why would you even say that? Oh, just can't.
Or how come you're... What have you been doing on these ice fishing trips?
Yeah, you went ice fishing last weekend.
When did you get so much knowledge on this topic?
You had no money when you came home. Why is that? Hmm.
Hudson, Ohio Mayor Craig Schubert made the remarks during a Tuesday evening city council meeting a week ago today.
Additionally, if you open this up to ice fishing, while on the surface it sounds good, then what happens next year? Does someone come back and say, I want an ice shanty on Hudson Springs Park for X amount of time? And if you then allow ice fishing with shanties, then that leads to another problem. Prostitution. And now you got the police chief and the police department involved. Just data points to consider.
Okay.
Very quiet after he said that.
Everyone's looking at each other like, did
he just say that?
Did you know this? Right. Is this real?
I like it because they keep on going when they actually vote.
A shanty.
What happens?
So I'm not in favor of shanties.
One more thing.
Nicole.
So if we move forward with this and that education is put on our website.
They're like, don't know what
she's like, we're just going to move on.
The whole room was like, what the hell is he talking about?
I give him credit that I didn't see the connection until he said the shanties. I'm like, oh, all right.
Then that leads to another problem. Prostitution.
That's a stretch.
Immediately, the guy sitting next to him looks up and looks at the guy to his left like, what? Huh?
Yeah.
So what, the guys that are ice fishing will call hookers to come and keep them company overnight?
I'm guessing. Or they're just going to use those shanties as a
instead,
you know,
of like a parking ride.
A cover, you know, for, yeah, you know, they're going in there.
Right.
Know, exactly. Taking care of the fishermen. Yeah, yo. Yes. Yeah, yo. She is a Downeaster Alexa, and he's on it. There's no luck in sword fishing here.
I wouldn't want to ice fish.
No. I would.
I've seen people doing it. I can't trust sitting, you know, in something. The guys bring out heaters. They put heaters out there. I'm like,
on the ice.
You're putting heater on ice. You know what happens with a heater with ice? It melts. You know what happens next? Bloop. You,
prostitution.
The shanty, the whole damn thing.
Bloop.
Exactly, right.
Then that leads to another problem.
Melting.
Prostitution.
Those sounds like Katie Kasem. And now, here's another problem.
Then
prostitution.
That leads to another problem.
That mayor quit, by the way.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Yeah. Yep. He is no longer mayor.
He's going to sell shanties.
He's like, I've got a great opportunity. Hear me out.
He should have just said, I'll see myself out. I'll go quietly.
You know, you have birthday parties at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yep.
Prostitution.
Yep.
That's right.
Exactly. Behind the animatronics, boy.
Yeah. Prostitution.
Yep. The smell of cheese gets them every time.
Couldn't prostitution be a problem anywhere?
Yes. At any time.
Right. I don't know where his thoughts were.
You don't need a shanty.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, you could, but you don't have to.
How does prostitution work? Like, you drive up on a... First of all, where are they? There's no, like... map. Like,
right. Go
here for the hookers.
Exactly, right.
You know?
People just know where they are. Or they find you.
Right. You don't...
Is there an app? I don't know.
In ancient Rome, they had little penises etched on the curbs, like the road curbs,
to point this
the right way, like brothel this way.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh,
prostitution.
In Pompeii, brothel that way. Just follow the penises.
There's a lot of penises.
Carved into the sidewalk?
Yes.
By the hookers.
Oh, what a pain in the ass if you move the location. It's like, we got to make the penis going this way now.
I know when there's wet cement, you put your foot in there and get a footprint. This one guy had a job.
Right.
Doink.
It's like the Chinese theater.
Doink.
All right, we're ready for you.
They're not to scale, AJ.
Where is biggest dickest?
Can you imagine if we still use that system?
Right.
That'd be great.
Good heavens, I fell asleep and I'm hardened. Yeah, I ain't going down that street. I'm good, thank you. Why does my car keep going down the road? Imagine riding a bicycle, hitting this little penis down. It's the worst.
Yeah.
A cobblestone.
I was doing an event in New Haven. I don't want to say which event, but I had to be there early for television coverage.
Did you find a carved penis?
And I
no.
And I pulled into my parking spot, and I get out, and this hooker walks up to me.
Yep.
I didn't understand what was happening, like, the first minute.
Was she not direct?
No.
Let's make a conversation.
Conversation. What's going on, big boy?
Well, she's been up all night.
Well, big boy. I'm like, I didn't gain that much weight.
You call him fat.
Not that heavy.
Right.
I'm going to be running in this road. Oh, man, damn it. Anyway.
Yep.
I was at a road race.
Yes.
I was getting there for the TV.
I know exactly where it happened because it happened to me, too.
Yeah, right
only
there.
I found out you should probably lock your doors when getting to a stop sign, a stoplight over there, because this one got in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saw someone motioning to me as I got to the light.
Now, that's service.
I didn't know what the hell was going on, like you. I'm like, I have no idea. And I thought she's waving, so I waved back. And next thing I know, the door opens before I could hit the damn button.
And you smell perfume?
And she, oh, God. And she climbed in. I go, no, I'm good. Thank you. Are you sure? I'm like, yeah, you got to go.
What kind of shoes did she have on?
I didn't look. I just saw her face.
Shoe guy.
It was winter, so.
Boots?
I assume. Again, I was too.
Like, well, it wasn't winter. It's March.
It was, well, you know, it was still, I was wearing one of our, you know, station, like, the puffy jackets.
No, it's just weird.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
She's
appreciate
like,
that.
Talking to me, I'm like, first, why are you talking to me? Two, holy cow, you're still up.
Yep.
And then, I'm not fat.
Right. I'm not a big boy.
My knowledge of prostitution is basically
very cold outside.
And then I think she saw it in my eyes. I'm like, oh, I understand what's happening now. I'm good. No, thank you.
I say you're a prostitute.
I'm like, ah.
You're a prostitute.
Good. Yeah. No, I'm just here for something else.
Yeah, and I got to get clean
my seat.
I got
a thing I got to do. I got to, you know.
Yep.
Hello.
Hey, I bet you guys didn't know that driving the speed limit also leads to prostitution.
Yes, it does, because they can catch up to you.
It's been proven scientifically.
Yes.
Prostitution.
Thank you, Matt. Follow the science.
Yep. Going to the movies and sitting in the movie seat.
Cameron and Wilkett.
Good morning. Hey. So I studied archaeology in England, specifically ancient Romans.
Mm.
Not only did they have penis bricks leading you to the brothel,
say?
They had specific coins to pay for the brothel, and they were minted with the act that they would pay for.
Oh,
that's a lot of work.
And screw
what if I
money?
Change my mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you only want one thing, and you're like, gosh, I only have three other handy coins. I don't have the coin I need.
Oh, my God. And then it becomes like trading cards. Hey, right. I'll trade you one of these for one of those.
Yeah, you got to buy gum to get some change.
Yep.
The worst.
Yeah, the quality changed by the emperor, you know?
Yes.
It never got better than
well, the good thing is wearing those Roman skirts was easy.
Are those coins
right,
still in
guys,
existence?
Have a great morning.
Can you imagine what they would cost?
Right.
Or what they'd be
oh,
worth?
They're still around. You can find them online.
Really? What were they called?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. You know, of course, it's too early in the morning for me to remember their
Roman
name,
hooker
I
coins.
Brothel.
It was in Latin.
Brothel coins?
Yeah. Brothel coins. All right. Thank you, Cameron. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. Have a good morning, guys.
Hit a Bitcoin. This is Peace Coin.
Did you find it?
There's a lot. There's really? A lot of options.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Those pictures do not leave anything up to the imagination.
Yeah, really? I thought they were going to be pretty subtle. They're not. Like,
no.
If you leave that lying around and someone finds it, like, they know exactly.
Terrific. Look at what
you don't have to say.
What am I looking for here?
See, they were very specific in their ordering. You got to be specific to be terrific.
What am I typing in here? Roman brothel coins.
All of a sudden, Google's going to be like, why is everyone Googling brothel coins in Connecticut and Long Island today?
Brothel coins.
Brothel coins.
Oh, my God. There's a penis with wings.
Oh, damn.
A flying penis.
Yeah,
the one on the table is pretty interesting.
That. Which one? There's multiple.
One's very specific. I mean,
they're all very specific.
Like holding a leash and, yeah. It's like a bad horse race going on over here.
What is it? Brothel coins?
Roman coins. Brothel coins.
Yeah, Roman brothel coin. Yeah, I'd be going for a band. Roman brothel coin. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's still
going. I believe Roman brothel coin will be playing Sound on Sound.
They're the opening act.
But think how easy these are. You don't have to communicate than handing over a coin.
There's another token where the girl looks like she's, you know, getting her token from the guy. Wow.
Yeah, like it's like a massage.
It's like she's like driving a manual shift over here.
$148 for that one. Hmm. Wow.
Get it, AJ. See if it works somewhere.
You know what?
Good, thank you.
These would be, fun good. Gifts.
They really would. Grandma loves them.
Now, these would be a good Valentine's Day gift. See?
Hey, there you go.
What happens if you put it like in a vending machine?
This one looks like someone's really into it and they're wagging their tail.
The I don't think like, that's a tail, the AJ. Like,
I don't want to be with a hooker with a tail.
The lady's sitting on the guy facing him. He's facing
that's the leg, way. AJ.
The leg's going up and down like that?
They're it's a leg.
One, two, three. She got four legs.
Right now, let's bring on attorney Norm Pattis. We're going to talk to you about this weirdo defense for a murder case. But first, we just stumbled upon something we didn't even know was in existence.
And you need to know.
I'm guessing Norm already knows.
He probably does. Yeah, he knows everything.
Roman brothel coins. Right. You know about this?
No. What? Say what?
Roman brothel coins.
Right.
Apparently, back in the day, they minted coins, and each coin had a specific act on it, and you'd have to have, you know, that's the act you would get to when you handed
it.
Oh,
my goodness.
Collect all 24.
Like challenge cards. Right?
Yeah, basically, you know? Yes. Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Actually, yes.
In a way.
It is a challenge.
And trust me, some of these were a challenge because their illustrations aren't very good.
You know, Nero might have been fiddling while Rome was burning, but everybody else, give me my challenge coin.
Exactly.
You know, those are definitely collector's items. I did not know about it. Now you've given me something to look up in my off moments today.
Yeah.
And, you know, there you go. You know,
had no idea until about 15 minutes ago.
And some are explicit. Like the minting on these was interesting.
I mean, you know, how does one discover, you know, midway along life's way to sound like, you know, Dante here, such things? I mean, what, you're just cruising the internet for holiday gift purchases and thought,
that's a great idea.
We don't have, you know.
They would have been great for Valentine's Day.
They would have, yep.
You know, you hand them out, say, this is
something different.
Here we go.
Yeah, you give me this coin, you get this done.
I expect these items.
I don't mean to suggest anything to you, dear, but if you, heads you win, heads you win, tails I lose.
Yeah, so, but the tail's real tail. You know? Yes.
Yeah. No.
Norm Pattis is on. I was reading this story, AJ, about this murder case in Connecticut that happened, I think, back in 81, and it turned out they made a big movie about it.
Yeah.
And as I'm reading the story, Norm Pattis, our good friend, is quoted in it.
Oh.
And I'm like, let's talk to Norm about this.
The devil made me do it. It was a case in 1981. A young man named Arnie Johnson was accused of murdering another fellow in a dispute. And the defense that his lawyer, Marty Minella, who still practices in Connecticut, wanted to raise was demonic possession. So here's the backstory. Arnie had a girlfriend named Debbie, and Debbie had a little brother. It's not clear whether he was a full brother or a half brother, but the little brother had issues. And so, you know, when the night would fall, the theme song for The Exorcist would come on and chairs would start flying around the house and his face would be contorted. And they tried in vain, the family did, to get the local Catholic bishop to authorize an exorcism, but he wouldn't do it. So they contacted some demon busters, some local witchcraft folks or whatever, and they tried to exorcise the kid, and it didn't work. And one day, Arnie Johnson
wait, the demon busters were that was the Warrens?
I believe so. Yeah,
cool. Yeah. This is a Warrens case.
And so Mr. Johnson begged the devil to leave the little boy, and the devil apparently took him up on the offer. And the next thing you know, Arnie's got issues.
Whoops.
Well, one of those issues involves stabbing this local businessman to death. And so Mr. Minella tried to put on the devil made me do it as a defense. And this is what attracted attention worldwide to Connecticut. You know,
another good issue.
One of the movies that they just made about the Warrens was, wasn't it called The Devil Made Me Do It? What was it called?
I think it was.
Phil?
Yep. And there.
I think that was called The Devil Made Me Do It.
It was something, The Devil Made Me Do It.
Right.
as legal defenses work, it was a flop. The judge would not permit the jury to hear it. You know, judges have a gatekeeping responsibility to determine what evidence a jury can and can't hear. And so in the area of scientific evidence, you know, sometimes judges will say, you know, you guys are entitled to explore anything you like about the wayward relationship of objects in time and space, a.k.a. science and nature. But there is some science that is not reliable, and it's therefore junk science. This judge concluded that this was junk theology. He wouldn't permit evidence of demonic possession before a courtroom, and Mr. Johnson was convicted. But, you know, Marty stuck to his guns, and he said, look, if we believe in a God, and most Americans do, we must believe in the devil because that's part of the same theology. And for centuries, people have wondered about demonic possession, and the Catholic Church has a body of knowledge, a body of teaching about it, and why can't we entertain this possibility? I think from the judge's perspective, it was just a bridge too far because, you know, you can't really say you can't summon the devil on command. You can't say he's here and not there. You know, you can't. There's no reliable medical science on demonic possession. And he concluded that that would confuse the jury and that it wasn't reliable enough. And Mr. Johnson was ultimately convicted of, I guess, murder.
So not a good defense.
Well, you know, I mean, it's not, but for crazy reasons. I mean, who are we to say? You know, why is there, I mean, you know, the grand philosophic question of all time that remains unanswered conventional terms, but it is answerable theologically. Why is there a world rather than not? Why? What existed before the Big Bang? And that'll mean, and I'm not referring to one of your Roman brothel challenge coins. you know, but what, you know, we don't know. And, you know, science says we can't know, and we'll confine ourselves to what we can know. But the hunger in the human breast says we need to know. And theology provides an answer. The world and the universe exists because it was created ex nihilo, out of nothing by God, a creative intelligence. In the beginning was the Word, says, opens the Old Testament. And so, you know, the defense of demonic possession is one that many Christians would have recognized. And let's remember, back in the early 80s, you know, the McMartin schools and demonic possessions and satanic ritual abuse was everywhere.
Wouldn't it have been easier to do an insanity plea? People can get behind crazy.
Yes.
But here's the problem with an insanity plea. I mean, in order to be convicted of murder in Connecticut, the state has to prove two things. First, that a person had the specific intent or the conscious objective to cause a death. And second, that they did. Now, if the person is so whacked out that they can't have the conscious objective, well, then they're not guilty by reason of insanity. And there are two forms of insanity. There's cognitive insanity, where you literally don't know what you're doing. And then there's willful or volitional insanity, where you can't control what you're doing. So the devil could override either. But if, with respect to the insanity defense, it's not like you get free. You get remanded to the Whiting Forensic Institute, which is a custodial institution. So you just go to a different form of prison. And candidly, it's harder to get out of Whiting than it is to get out of jail. We've had people go to Whiting and never leave. I mean, it's like the Hotel California. Seriously. Yeah, you might be not guilty by reason of insanity, but we'll tell you when you're
sane. Be careful what you wish for.
And they're out of that wine, too, by the way.
I got to go, Norm, because we got a big concert announcement we're going to be doing here. And then we're going to have more people.
The Devil Made Me Do It concert. Come see him. 666. That's your lucky number.
Yeah,
see you later.
This case that you're talking about was a Ed and Lorraine Warren case. They ended up making a big-time movie about it. The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. How much money did that make in the box office?
$200
million. Nice.
$200 million movie, Norm, from that case.
So. Well, I'll tell you, but it never saw the light of the day in a courtroom, and that's where it matters in terms of your individual client.
Right. Thank you, Norm. Appreciate it. The news just broke at 7:50, thanks to us. We jumped the gun a little bit, and then officially the world found out at 8 o'clock. The lineup and details for Sound on Sound coming to Seaside Park September 24th and 25th. I believe we're making history with this being the largest music festival ever in Connecticut. Would that be right, Jimmy?
That is correct. There was one attempt earlier, Powder Ridge, back in 1970, and it didn't come off.
You know, it's a big deal here today when Jimmy Complic, Howard's a fan from the amphitheater, and then Jordan Wolowitz from Governor's Ball and Founders Entertainment all come in.
Right, the superpower is coming in.
Big deal.
So, good morning, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, very exciting morning, right?
Well, I know it's not Thursday because I'm not alone.
Right.
Correct.
I feel like they thought, you know what? Maybe Chaz and AJ can handle it. Nah, we better go in and do it ourselves.
Exactly right. Once I'm done, right, do it yourself.
This is a big deal, and there's lots to cover, so let's start right away with the acts. Let's run through them. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds, Stevie Nicks, and Lumineers are our three headliners. We also have Brandi Carlile, The National, Black Pumas, Gary Clark Jr., Brother John.
He's not looking at his phone right now.
Yeah,
by the way, he's just doing this right from memory.
Top
pretty
his
good.
Head right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's starting to look for help, I think, though.
Lifeline. Phone a friend. Phone a friend.
Yes. So people should go check out our website to see the rest, downonsoundct.com. We will have 12 acts per day. And more
a day.
Yeah.
All right. So I have 23 on this list. So are there a few that you are still working on? Haven't announced?
Just haven't announced yet.
Gotcha.
There's going to be no overlapping sets. So for ticket buyers, are going to be if they want to, they'll be able to see every single act on the lineup.
Wow.
Cool.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Did you like that, Jimmy?
I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah.
We when I did Woodstock '94, we had two stages, and if you aren't at one stage seeing Green Day, you missed a show. You missed somebody up at the main stage.
Right, you have to make that choice.
Yeah,
yeah. So this was Jordan's idea. I give him all the credit in the world.
Nice.
It was great,
beautiful,
yep. Works.
Yeah, Howard, what's your involvement in all this?
my involvement is months and months and months ago. Jordan came in and said we'd love to do a festival in Bridgeport, and Jordan and his partner, Tom, had previously met or went to the Vibes. And Jimmy said, yeah, you know, let's do it. And so we all put this together. And it's my involvement is more financial and promoting this incredible festival. And you just marvel at these guys because they're the festival experts. Festivals are so different than running an amphitheater, running an arena. It's just a breed unto itself. And, you know, Jimmy and myself, you know, at times we marvel at how they do it, how Jordan built this lineup, and the anguish he goes through on a daily basis. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It's fun for me to watch.
A long way from your festival, Jimmy, back in right after Woodstock.
1973, Watkins Glen. And you'll see the difference when you come to Sound on Sound. I put 600,000 people in a field with one stage and three acts. That was it.
Right.
Times were different.
That's all we had back then, though, damn it.
Yeah, who knew any better?
Back in those days.
Still good.
We only had 3X.
But I did make money, Jordan. I want that to be known. Okay,
well,
so we got to do that,
that's
too.
Great. Yes.
Which they didn't do with Woodstock.
We were the first festival to actually make money.
Nice.
Yes.
The first,
we were the first festival
in the history.
That's a claim to fame right there. Yeah.
That is something.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. It's not easy making money on festivals. The costs are tremendous right now. But I like Howard said, first of all, I give Howard more credit than he's giving himself. Getting through the political maze of Bridgeport is not easy.
Right.
Howard knows how to do that. Jordan and I watched him do it. It was great. So I give Howard more credit than he gives himself. I give Jordan all the credit in the world because when I put a festival together back in 1973, I had one thing in mind, pace. How's the audience going to deal with it? So I knew I wanted the band in the middle, but where do I put the Allman Brothers and where do I put the Grateful Dead? Well, the Dead I thought was a good act to open up, sort of easy, smooth, nice music. They rock. Then we go to the band, and then we power on at the end with the Allman Brothers. Jordan did the same thing with Sound on Sound, where he cared what act was playing before what act. So there will be a smooth
transition.
It's like
transition. A DJ.
Yes, it's like a DJ. You're right. So I'm
DJ marveled. Jordan.
Nice.
And it's, I'm still that.
49 years later, he's doing what I did, and I love seeing it. It's just great.
That's cool.
Well, you know what's really cool is we were building, or Jordan was building out the acts, and Jimmy said, you know, we got to have Stevie Nicks. And it completely broke our budget. You know, like the budget was gone. And
mean the Stevie Nicks?
Yeah.
Hey, found
there's one
Stevie
in Hartford
right.
We can get for
a Stephen Nicks. You don't mind, do you?
Stephen Nicks,
right? Spelled with PH.
That's different.
Okay.
And not on tour this year, so we're proud to say we grabbed her.
This
like
is
that.
It.
Yeah.
You know, I've been looking up this Jordan guy, and he shows up on a lot of those 30 under 30 and 40 under 40. I'm like, he is a smart guy. Look at this. He ended up in this room with Jimmy Coplick and Howard Safin. How old are you?
I'm 38. I'm not young anymore.
No, you, trust me. You're still young. Yeah.
38.
We'll talk.
38.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I have furniture older than that.
He's not beaten down at all.
Right, that must be really old.
Yeah, but I am nice old enough show. I've gone to Jimmy, you know, I grew up here, so I've, you know, I grew up going to Jimmy shows forever, and so it's
what was your first concert?
In general, when I was
The first concert you went to?
Mighty Mighty Boss Stones.
Cool.
I snuck in with like an older cousin. I was like 9 years old.
Nice.
Nice.
But then you it became blended. Dave Matthews Band and Fish and Pearl Jam and everyone.
What was the first show you put on?
The first show we put on was Governor's Ball Music, or our first big show was Governor's Ball Music Festival in New York in 2011.
Seems like a big show to take on first.
Yeah, luckily we were young and dumb.
What did you learn the hard way on that one?
You know what? We got lucky and had a good first year. We just learned that we will have a lot of competition because we were like independent to 27-year-olds when we did the first year. And no one really, and Jimmy reminded me that no one had done a successful music festival ever in New York City. So when we did it the first year, big corporations kind of came after us with other festivals, and we just knew we had to watch our back, and somehow we won that battle.
It's all about the passion. If you're doing it for the right reason, for the audience to love it, like, this will be cool. If you're answering that question, like, that's what Howard did with the amphitheater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This will be cool.
It is.
Yeah. No, it's a great point.
And it, you know, you put the financial thing aside. If you build it, they will come.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's a funny story. The first time I met Jordan, I said, how in God's name did you guys ever start GovBall? And he said to me, he turned to me and he said, we were 27 years old. We had nothing to lose. It's wild.
Right.
It's wild.
That's
about
great.
27 years old, largest festival in New York City. Incredible.
How many people did you have at the first year?
The first one was relatively small. We had 20,000, and then by per day, and then by 2013 we had 55,000 per day.
55,000 per day.
Man. So it grew.
That's a good number, Jimmy.
I was right in the New York office when he put GovBall on for Live Nation. He pissed me off.
See, this is what Jimmy does. He brings in these people.
Exactly.
It's like, you're going to be on our team.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Live Nation tried to do a festival. We failed. Our main competition, AEG, tried to put on a festival. They failed. But these two young punks at the time, is what I consider them at the time, were doing it successfully. And I said, how does that happen? We've got all the money in the world. We've got all the experience in the world. We can't do it, but these guys can do it. And it's like you said, it's passion. It's, as Jordan said, it's a lot of dumb luck. It is a lot of dumb luck. I was very young when I did Watkins Glen. It was dumb luck. You know, you try to do what's right, but you really don't know what's right yet. And but they had the institutional knowledge of what acts worked right. We didn't. So we tried doing things the wrong way. They did things more organically, which was the right way to do it.
This, I love this lineup because it is organic, but it's also some commercial acts that we love. So you're going to have some hits, then you're going to have these other acts. And then here's the website that you really want to have in your mind now, because you could go there to register for pre-sale. It is soundonsoundct.com. And let's talk about the pre-sale and the tickets and the packages and the whatnots. So the headline is, so it's Dave Matthews, Tim Reynolds, the Lumineers, Stevie Nicks, Brandi Carlile, The National, many, many more, 23, 24 acts over 2 days at Seaside Park. And when do tickets go on sale? So we have Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation, we have Howard Safin with the Amphitheater, and we have Jordan Woolwitz with Founders Entertainment. When do tickets go on sale?
So tickets go on sale Friday at 12 o'clock. There's
To everybody?
That's to the general public. There is a pre-sale code
What is that code?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
what is that code?
Hey,
there's a code?
Yeah. That's a Jimmy question. I stay away from that kind of stuff. Okay. You guys managed to suck concerts out of him that he should never announce.
And then I got a call from Howard. What did you say?
Because I get the calls and people say, did you realize that you have this concert coming? And I'm like, oh, God, you guys sucked it out of Jimmy. It's City Card right now is has a preferred presale going. And then all PLR listeners and Fox listeners will have a presale code. And if you shake Jimmy down enough, then I'm sure he'll give it to you today.
So today is City Card members.
Correct.
That starts at 10.
That starts at 10.
It's too late to become a City Card member?
Oh, go for it.
Quick.
Go. Not going to say no.
And then the pre-sale for radio station people.
Thursday.
Okay, so 2 days from now. So go to that CT. Go to soundonsoundct.com, register, and then I'll get text or an email with the code is, right, Jordan?
Yep.
That's how it'll work?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Cool.
Okay.
So now here's something really cool.
Well, we can tell you ready? Before we leave.
Oh, thank you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So have you ever wanted to be on stage to see a rock star?
Well, yes.
Every day.
Right? And, always.
And we talk about that as being the priceless moment, right?
Yeah.
So we have a ticket called Platinum, where if available, the rock star doesn't go crazy, you can be on the stage and watch them.
That's what the Platinum ticket is?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's so
nice.
Cool.
That is so Platinum.
Wait.
So literally there are 50 tickets, 50 tickets. Like, and I'll give you a funny story. So when we were building the amphitheater, I said to Jimmy, I said, we have the largest stage in Connecticut. It's huge. We have these wings. And wouldn't it be cool if we could have people on the stage? And he basically said, F off. No chance.
I mean, hello.
So all of a sudden, I went to GovBall last year. And I saw that people were on the stage. So I turned to Jordan. I said, what is this? And then he explained what the ticket was. I said, you can get away with this? He said, yeah, you know, festivals are quite different than concerts. And I said, oh, man, this is great. So so Tom Russell, Jordan's partner, created Platinum. And so for 50 people, they'll be able to do this. And there's backstage VIP lounges. Everything is just, you know, literally priceless moments.
Okay, wait a minute. So this would be for every band, the bands that are cool with it, both days. So you buy a Platinum ticket, you're on stage for whatever band that's cool with it, both days.
That's right.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's quite an experience to be on
it's
stage.
It's ridiculous. And,
yeah. Wow. All right. Then what else do you get? There's like a backstage like buffet or whatever.
Oh, yeah. There's custom chefs and VIP and VIP parking.
Really?
This is... Your own bathrooms. This is unbelievable.
That alone right there.
What do you think that's worth?
Oh, gosh. I don't even know. More than I make a year?
And all I did was put 600,000 people in a field.
That still counts.
Where were they peeing? That's all I want to know.
I had 1,000 bathrooms.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
1,000 porta. And I had 990, and I needed 1,000 for the permit, and they let me go for 10.
Well, wow. They let you slide.
Were there lines for beer is the most important question.
Well, you know, we were so stupid that for $5,000, I gave the food and beverage concessions away.
Oh my God.
I told you it was dumb luck.
No, but that was, Jimmy, you were inventing the wheel.
Yeah.
So it's like saying, hey, I got this Tesla over here. Okay, but I made the wheel.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly, right.
If you look at somewhere. If you watch the Woodstock movie, that guy, like, he gets a lot of credit.
Yeah.
They were the luckiest people on the planet.
Yep.
If you watch how that fell together, and thank God the crowd was great and the music was awesome, but everything else was not well run. Jimmy ran the first best music festival ever.
Successfully, yes.
Yeah, Watkins Glen. There are still cars in fields from that concert. It's like this urban museum out in the woods to that legendary concert.
Yep.
What would that ticket be worth? Wow, that's...
Well, it was $10 back then.
Right, okay, so...
The Platinum ticket.
Platinum ticket?
I'm going to say $8,000. Mm. It's 2 days.
Okay, we'll make you a deal.
$8,000. I think you overshot the runway there.
Yeah.
How many would you like?
I'll sell you all 50.
Hand-delivered.
Oh, my God. You're passing Ziggy Marley a doobie, basically.
Right.
Or maybe, well, maybe he's passing you one.
Maybe exactly. I want the opposite way around.
What is that? How much is the platinum ticket?
Let's say it's less than $5,000.
Okay.
Okay.
Less than $5,000.
Are you guys just making up prices now?
Just want to watch you sweat.
Hmm. All right, so that's
less than $5,000.
That's an incredible ticket.
Yeah.
That's an incredible.
Once in a lifetime.
That's a dream, basically. Oh,
damn.
Yep.
Wow, I have a feeling they're not going to give those away.
No. No. No.
I was going to ask them for one.
Yeah, no, that ain't going to happen.
I'm going to buy one. I am buying one to make sure I get on stage. I'm buying one.
I'm not speaking for anybody over here, but I'm pretty sure it's not going
to happen. Jimmy doesn't have to buy one.
No.
Right?
He's a Jimmy.
I got thrown off the Watkins Glen stage.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
By a guy named Steve Parrish, who was Jerry Garcia's manager.
Oh, really?
Didn't really know me that well. I was 23 years old. So what's this young guy doing on the stage? Literally lifted me up and threw me off the stage.
Whoa.
I didn't say he moved me off the stage. He threw me off the stage.
Literally.
14 feet down. Yeah.
It's inconsistent with what I think about when I think about the Grateful
Dead.
Yeah,
it's undead-like behavior.
That's right.
That's like, you know, that's like,
it's
mosh
like, hey,
pit
we're
behavior.
Peace and love. But the security, like, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a big guy.
I hope so.
Like Tank it.
And I was a little guy then.
Right.
Many pounds less.
Okay, so the platinum is an insane ticket. That is insane. Okay. So we don't have a hard price on that one yet?
Less than 5,000.
Okay, cool.
More than three?
More than three, less than five. That's good.
Okay, between three and five. Three and five.
Okay.
I got a window.
All right. That's wild.
Now,
both days.
Here's the best part. The two-day early bird special, the two-day ticket price is $219.
That's so, general admission.
General admission. So think about it. You, for 2 days worth of 24 artists, you can go in there for less than $120 a day.
Nice.
That is really cool.
That's really cool.
That's really cool.
About $9 a band. I just said,
wow.
Oh, yeah,
wow.
I just had to use
see
my
that? See, I had to pay 10.
Yeah. That's impressive.
But 9 works.
$9 a band.
You have me at 9.
That's a steal.
Yep.
We don't do that at the amphitheater.
No.
These prices not transferred to the other place. No.
Just want to make that very clear to everybody.
Yes, exactly.
That's a
okay,
festival
so
price.
We got general admission. That's $219 for 2 day. There's general admission plus. Is that the same thing or is that another level?
No, that's another level. So that's a special viewing area. That's special bathrooms. You have a lot more space and a different kind of lounge.
Nice.
So that's if you know, Fairfield County kind of, I want to spread out, enjoy myself.
I like that. One level up.
Yep. One level up. And then you get to the next level beyond that called VIP. And VIP, again, is a totally different area, a little bit elevated. And then with different bathrooms and very special food and liquor, beverage.
Ooh.
The last.
What's that VIP price? Do we know what that is yet?
Yeah, we do. That's $639.
$639 for VIP.
Nice.
And then.
That's both days.
That's both days. Yeah.
Hmm.
And then they have something called Terrace. And Terrace VIP is elevated, and it's really an incredible view. And this is the genius of Tom Russell, creating these terraces that overlook the stage. And again, with all VIP amenities, food and beverage, private chefs, and VIP parking. So you're parking, you're adjacent to the festival.
Oh, cool.
Pull your car up and then just walk right in. Special entrance.
I love this because everybody has their own level of comfort.
Yeah.
A music festival. Like some people just want to go, got a blanket, I'll get there early, I'll stay all day.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Exactly.
And then there are people who are like, nah, I like to be pampered.
Exactly.
Right. Park over here, right. Take a couple steps.
I want to walk
get
too
up
far.
In the Paris.
Bathrooms are nice.
Oh, my God. Is that Jimmy Conley?
Any food?
By? Now I know I'm in a good spot.
I saw him. Oh, my God.
It was Jimmy.
Oh, my God. I saw him.
I swear.
It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is great. How much is it for the terrace? Do we know the price on that one yet?
Yeah, the terrace is $1,099 for the two-day festival. And then we have cabanas. So for corporations, and you may want to go to your owner and suggest this, we get 25 tickets, and they have their own food and beverage and literally their own space.
Well, you're going to have lunch with Jeff soon?
I think tomorrow.
Nice.
Why don't you ask? Tell him Chaz said.
Little hint.
Do it when he has food in his mouth.
Right.
So he chokes.
Chaz says you're going to buy a couple of these terrace tickets.
No. Cabana.
The cabanas look really cool.
And then get out of the way really quick.
Yeah.
And funny.
Yeah. And then we're going to take a quick break and then come back and recap the information that broke just about an hour ago here on the radio station and at 8 o'clock worldwide. Sound on Sound coming to Seaside Park in Bridgeport, September 24th, 25th. Tickets go on sale for the CityCard members today at 10 o'clock, but Thursday for pre-sale and Friday for everybody, right?
Yes.
We got a question here from Tribe member Ken. How many tickets total will be sold?
Well, we're hoping to sell 35,000 a day.
So that would be 70?
That would be 35,000 two-day tickets, 70,000
gotcha.
Attendance.
Oh. Wow.
35,000
two-day
tickets.
Oh, that'll leave a nice, that's a lot of, you know, won't feel like we're, you know, eight people in a Volkswagen.
Exactly, no sandwich here, yeah.
No, it's it's a big park. I mean,
yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, it's big.
I mean, who knows? It could hold 100,000. We want this to be very, like, comfortable, what's called a boutique music festival, where, like, at Governor's Ball, we have 60,000 people there. But this will be similar size park, but with half the capacity, so people are nice and comfy.
That's cool.
You know, for those who don't know, the park was designed by Frederick Olmsted, who designed Central Park, and it sits on the shores of Long Island Sound, and it's absolutely magnificent. Mm-hmm. And it's all beach the whole way, and I think people who haven't been to Bridgeport will be mesmerized by Seaside Park.
Completely true. When you go through there, you're like, what is this?
Oh, my
gem?
God. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Oh, my God. This exists?
Yeah. Another question. How many bands? I think we answered that around 24, right?
Yep.
People are asking about vendors, food, art.
Oh, vendors are easy. So think local. Think about Donut Crazy. Our friends at Donut Crazy.
Love them.
Who provided
by the
you
way,
some
I'm smelling their donuts right now.
The Tasty Yolk, Pepe's Pizza, Lobster Craft, which was just voted the number one food truck in Connecticut. Super Duper Weenie, Hoodoo Brown Barbecue. We sat down with Chris from Hoodoo, and he wants to have a whole barbecue session. So you have the number one barbecue provider in the state who wants to bring more barbecue guys, and then beverages are going to be, obviously we start out with.
So what do you mean there'll be like a barbecue section?
Yeah,
like, nice. You want barbecue, you just come over here.
As it should be. Yes,
it's incredible. Jen, who runs the operations for Founders Entertainment, is really tuned into food, and we have our friend Stephanie Webster at CT Bites helping us just provide the incredible food. Vendors. We also have Two Roads, our friends at Two Roads, you know, Brad Hiddle and his partners. That'll be special. We'll kick off the craft beers for us. So it's really hyper local food and beverage. And we want to make people feel comfortable in places that they eat ordinarily.
Are you guys looking for help? Security, parking attendants, any of that stuff?
There on the website, there's the ability to apply. And again, Jimmy and I hand this off to the founders guys because they do this on a regular basis. So whether it's looking for help, whether it's I want to be a vendor, you know, same thing. And then there's an element of Sound on Sound where we give back. We give back to the Special Olympics. We give back to Make-A-Wish. We give back to local Bridgeport. Adam J. Lewis School as part of our charitable means. And we also do a donation back to the city of Bridgeport in that parks and recreation area to better the park itself.
Wow. Anything we leave out, Jimmy, Jordan?
I don't think so.
Think,
You'll announce the pre-sale for the Fox and PLR Thursday morning.
Right.
And we go from there.
Awesome.
Cool.
So we'll have you back on the air, Jimmy, Thursday, 8:20.
Yep.
We'll follow up with any new details. We'll have the pre-sale code. and we're rocking.
Yep.
This is the one thing, if you want to walk away, like with something that, if you have a lot of questions, this one website will answer them for you. SoundOnSoundCT.com. That's where you can register for your pre-sale. You'll get texts and email information, and all the bands and all of these things are there on that site. SoundOnSoundCT.com. We're very excited. We've always wanted cool stuff
yep.
here in Connecticut, and now it's coming.
Yay.
Thank you, Howard, for the amphitheater
Thank
and
you.
This. And Jordan, great meeting you, man.
You too. Mm-hmm.
My new best friend.
Yep.
Jimmy, love you, man. Everything you've done for Connecticut with all these concerts. And now, look at you. You're still cooking.
I can't believe. Thank God I have a young guy next to me. I'll tell you that.
Hey, Chad, just one thing. Without Jimmy, music is not Connecticut. And Jimmy is absolutely the reason why music is so important in Connecticut. So I think we all owe him a big, big thank you and a hug. Because without that, Sound on Sound doesn't happen.
And we could thank him by buying tickets to his shows.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a good thank you.
Thank
that's
you,
a,
Jimmy.
That's a hell of a hug. That's the best hug ever.
Thank you, guys. Now let's talk about this guy who wants to jump out of an airplane naked.
Okay.
Ouch. Okay.
Yeah, there's a bite of a York peppermint patty.
Sounds
you
like
want
it
a
hurts.
Sensation? Woo!
It seems like jumping out of a plane would be enough.
Right. But jumping out naked.
Jumping out naked.
I mean, a lot of flapping going on.
Right. How many times have you jumped out already that it's like, you know, I gotta amp this up a little bit more?
Yeah, what would really put this over the edge?
And how do you start? Do you start like, let me try without shoes?
Right, yeah, right, exactly. Like, lose a piece each time. Okay, yeah. Now no shirt.
Ooh, that was nice, the wind between my toes.
Right, now just my boxer briefs.
How do you get from jumping out of a plane to jumping out of a plane naked? And not only does he want to do that, but he wants to set a world record while he's doing it. And he's on the phone right now. Ryan.
Good morning, Jed.
Cunuff.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Why? Why? Why?
Well, you know, it's tradition. I set a world record last June. I did it 60 times naked in about 13 hours.
Wow.
So I got the record for the most in a day. And now me and 20 crazy other people are going to do the world's largest formation. So
ooh.
We're all going to be in our birthday suits.
All hold dudes?
No, we got some hot chicks on it, man.
Damn.
It's going to sound like applause.
See, I'd be distracted. You wouldn't want me to do something important when there's naked people around.
Right. Pull your shoot, Chaz! Pull your the shoot! The shoot! Hold the cord!
Oh, God. Right cord.
Yeah,
but what an impression you made
yeah.
on the earth.
Yeah.
That would be, but I would die happy.
Yes. You can tell, too.
This is really cool. Not for me, but I think it's really cool that what you're doing, because it's, if you think about it, I've never heard of this. People doing this.
Well, it's a informal tradition in skydiving to jump naked on your 100th jump.
Oh, really?
And about a year ago, I lost my best friend to mental health issues.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, sorry
so
about
I partnered
that.
With, yeah, you know, the world's struggling, guys, everywhere right now. It sucks. But I partnered with Movember to try to bring some awareness to that and do what we could do to help save some lives and stop some of those preventable tragedies.
So I got to let you go because you have this tight schedule today. I would love for you, I'm going to put you on hold, and if you want, give Phil your direct contact so we can talk to you at length about this. I'm very interested in it. We're going to link your GoFundMe on our radio station website. Ryan, good luck. I hope to talk to you again.
With clothes on.
No, but I don't mean like you're going to get hurt parachuting.
No.
I mean like I want to talk to you again.
Yes.
Like in a radio interview setting. Hold on one second, please. Yeah, try to get his number. We're on one of those stupid radio tours where it's like, you have 10 minutes.
Yep.
Any second they were going to come in and say, okay, yeah, I'll wrap it up.
Yep. The worst.
Like, all right.
That's interesting.
You realize what we're talking about here? We're talking about a group of people jumping out of an airplane together naked. I didn't know on your 100th jump you're supposed to jump naked.
So you have 9 or more to go.
Did you ever hear that?
No, I did not. No, and I'm thankful now because there are some folks who kind of get on in age when they decide to start skydiving. And no one's.
This is not a time. Right? This is not a time.
Here comes the queen mom.
I feel like my boobs would be concave.
Exactly, right.
I mean, ouch.
Chaz, you've skydived before. Is it cold up there?
Would it be called skydiving?
Skydove?
Skydiving? I don't know. I guess it's skydiving.
It's
I have
the
no
past
idea.
Tense.
It's a you know, proper vernacular for it. Yeah.
Skydiving?
Skydiving,
I just
yeah.
Jumped. My feet were always going down. I
yeah.
never dove.
But I mean, like, you know, like, but isn't it cold up there?
It is very cold.
So you'd be naked.
Ouch.
No.
Naked and cold and falling.
I wouldn't want anyone to see me like that.
No.
And I'm sure they have helmet cams because they want to, it's a big thing.
Wait, like, momentous occasion,
no.
Yes. Right. Right.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He has a camera on something different.
You know, the king mom, if she jumped out of a plane naked now, would probably. No, not the.
Queen
the,
mom?
The queen.
Okay.
No, just the queen.
I thought something happened. Yeah.
The queen.
The queen herself, yes.
Yeah, the queen mom is dead. If she
yeah,
jumped
she
out of a plane now, that'd be
won't
really
affect her, yeah.
Wild.
Right. You could just toss her out.
You'd have to pull the cord before you threw her
she might float.
Off the plane.
She might float by this point, yeah.
No, but the like queen now, if she jumps out of a plane, she'll look like she's wearing one of those, like, flying suits.
Exactly, right. Yeah, the wing suit.
The wing
oh,
suit.
The wing suit, right. Those are not her lats.
The flying squirrel.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Oh.
She sailed onto different counties.
She looks like one of those bugs that, like, skim across the surface of the water.
Good heavens, water bug, yeah. Good heavens.
The
Bad Nature film.
Did we get his number or no? No.
There was another guy there who said that he would be happy to set it up.
What a jerk.
Yep, of course. Very happy.
Just give the number. It's not about you, you freak.
Man.
Ryan seemed very nice. He was willing to do it. Everybody on the phone seemed like they'd be happy to have him come on again. But it's
we'll
gotta
find
go
him.
This other guy.
Yep. How many naked skydivers are there?
I didn't get to ask the question that I really wanted to ask, because back in the day, when you jumped out of an airplane, you would land on your feet.
Okay.
And then people realize, you know, a lot of broken ankles. So what we're going to do now is we're going to slide in on our butts.
Oh.
We're going to keep our legs up in the air,
ooh.
But we're going to slide in on our butts.
A lot of broken coccyxes.
How?
How the hell are you doing that naked?
They're going to be awfully full.
They must be landing on their feet.
Or, you know, they're going to be picking up a lot of dirt. Don't stand behind if they have gas. A sandstorm. Yeah, don't walk barefoot in that rug.
Is there anyone listening who's jumped out of an airplane? I'd love some information.
Yeah, I don't even get on the airplane. I ain't jumping out of it either.
Mm. Yeah, I when I went, you know, they do the training video, and I'm looking at the video. I'm like, wait a minute. You mean you don't land on your feet anymore?
Yeah, exactly.
So
but I had planned
head?
For that. Right. How do you
I'm
land?
Coming in on my ass?
Right. Well, if there's a sticker bush or an improperly placed broom.
No, well, you're landing in the field, hopefully, if the wind doesn't catch you and bring you to another county.
Right.
But did you check the entire field for rocks?
Exactly, right. Glass, broken glass, perhaps.
Pine cones.
Yeah, hedgehogs.
If there's something that hurts out there, my ass is going to find it.
What if there's a squirrel? Hey, why have a tail? You don't ask.
What's happening in your head right
there's
now?
There's a trapped squirrel in your butt.
You have flattened
there's a
it.
Squirrel in my butt.
Right, it was sitting there, just poked his head up, eating a nut. What? Next thing you know,
and now he's inside my butt.
You have a great tail coming out of your butt, yeah.
We got a young guy who's in Boston, and he grew up listening to this show, and he's like, hey, I'm going to have a podcast, and I'm going to record me talking to people on the streets of Boston.
Nice.
Then I'm going to email Chaz and say, hey, if you want to play this stuff, you can play it.
Cool.
That works.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Matt Lawler, good morning.
Hey, Chaz, good morning. AJ,
yo.
Ashley, Phil, how are you guys?
Morning, man.
Hello.
What up?
Doing good.
Hey.
Matt is from Connecticut and is now in Boston. And what's the deal with this podcast that you're doing? It's called The People of Boston?
Yeah, so it's called The People of Boston Podcast. And basically, it's just a street interview style show where I walk around different areas and parts of Boston and ask mainly just random questions. It's questions that are you know, sometimes funny or sometimes thought provoking. And just to, it's kind of like the idea of it is to snapshot Boston and the streets of it, the people walking around at a moment in time.
Can I tell you why this is a genius formula? It's because you're making it about people and not you. There's enough people out there who think they're so interesting that
I'm the star. Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Listen to me.
Yeah, I think you're onto something. However, here's the problem. This is why people don't do it. It's a lot of work.
Mm. It's true.
It is a lot of work. The editing, the hours that go into the editing and trying to make everything look and sound good, it takes a long time.
All right. Well, we're going to critique you. And I said, you know, we're going to have you on and we're going to like give you advice. And he's like, oh, I heard you guys give advice to Fathead and Stoshball.
Yeah. And yet you still decide to be with us.
Keep your advice.
Look, I need all the advice I can get, so that would be more than appreciated.
Great attitude.
Well, let me get my pen ready.
Hold that thought.
Well, Matt sounds
smart. I
don't want
to make the Friday flubble reel. That's all I'm trying to do here.
That was a close one already.
That was close. Come to the dark side.
All right, so what do we have? We were going to air this yesterday on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Yes, the Valentine's Day bad dates questions.
All right, so you're walking around Boston asking people if they had a bad date.
And do I have your permission to record and film and use this for the podcast?
Yeah, whatever you want.
What's your names?
Mark.
Stan.
Now, are you guys friends or dating? Or
we're dating.
What do you think about Valentine's Day?
It's the best. We're going to make snaps. Yeah.
hold on a second. That's a weird thing, right? Because it's like if you walk up to any couple.
Right.
Yeah. It's just like, so you married, you going out, you friend.
What are you?
Friends with benefits.
Yeah. Now there's a whole other layer of like people that, you know, there's a whole new set of questions almost as well, because there's two guys, they were holding hands while I was talking to them too. So that also was kind of like a dead giveaway that maybe they're not more than, or they are more than friends.
But you never know.
Yeah.
You just never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with your microphone?
Yeah. That was my first note.
What the?
I was going to just stop myself right there.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. So I just got these two Bluetooth microphones.
Are you getting a new one?
I do have a new one that is already working better. And it's, you know, when I listen to audio, whether it be you guys on the radio or podcast, and it's bad audio, I hate, like, you know, I stop listening.
All it's right. Not fun.
So.
Not a good time.
Yeah, and it makes, exactly. The whole experience, you only have one.
You talk sensor, a lot.
Or what is it? Yeah.
I like it, Matt. You have a great laugh. All right, let's get back to your audio.
It's the best. We're going to make snaps. Yeah.
Do you guys have a worse Valentine's Day story?
How much time we got? I was once dating this guy.
Uh-huh.
And for Valentine's Day, we went to his parents' house. This was 2 years ago.
Okay.
And we were around the dinner table. I don't know if I should be telling this story. No names, but we were eating dinner, and his mom grabbed my leg under the table.
What?
And I'll leave the story at that. But,
who was that?
Who is it? The person he was holding hands with?
Yeah, so that was his boyfriend who he was holding hands with, didn't know who it was.
Oh. He's like, who was it?
Yeah, he was shocked. He was kind of like throwing his head back in disbelief. And we have a video of this as well on my like social media. But yeah, the boyfriend was shocked.
Oh,
he
just
did
found
not.
Out. Yeah,
oh, it's a great story. Though.
Yeah, but now they probably had a fight.
And they had only been dating for a couple months, so I don't think this story had kind of made its way into the kind of pillow talk conversation yet.
Surprise!
Good for you.
Married surprise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you for getting it out.
Right.
But this, it gets better. Go ahead.
Now, the mom grabbed your leg under the dinner table.
Under the table.
I know that you like men, but did anything, what happened?
Oh, I like everybody.
You like everybody, okay.
Yeah.
So did you end up?
Let's just say the relationship didn't last much longer after that.
Did you end up doing anything with the mom?
Yeah, we had a little fun.
You and the mom had a little fun?
Yeah, it was a good time.
So now, next time when you go to his house, you got to make sure you're
keep mom away from me.
Yeah. You gotta watch your mom around him.
Right.
Yeah. That's a crazy Valentine's
Day. How was the boyfriend reacting to this story about the mom? And now he has to keep his mom away from
him. He warned him. He's like, everybody keep your effing mom away from me.
Yeah.
One word answers. Okay, yes. You sure? Yes.
Well, the one guy was definitely proud of this. And then the boyfriend who was hearing this for the first time was rolling his eyes and kind of had his head in his hand in disbelief. So he was definitely thrown off guard. He did not expect to hear this. I don't know what the conversation was after, but he was shocked, to say the least.
Well, the thing with dating someone, I don't believe I've dated anyone bisexual, but the thing would be you go onto a bar and it's like, oh my God, I'm really competing with everyone.
It's
now.
A smorgasbord, yeah. It really is.
It's like in the ladies' room. I don't know what's happening.
I'm just going to take
this is a lot. This is a lot for me.
Right. A lot happens in there.
It's a good thing to eat.
Yeah, there's beautiful men, there's beautiful women. I got to track them all down and eye them out.
Oh, good job on this one.
Nice.
The only thing I would do different is I wouldn't say when you say, do you have a worst dating story? When you say the word worst, now they have to search their memory bank to find the worst. If you just say, do you have a bad one? Then the first one that comes to mind, you'll get them talking faster.
Right. Could have been seconds ago.
That's great. And if you got two people, use names and one at a time. So instead of, hey, do you guys have a bad story? Just be like, all right, let's start with you, Stan. What's a bad dating story?
That's good.
Nice.
Just boom. So now it's one person at a time instead of everybody talking at once.
AJ, what's your advice?
My advice be to just have a good microphone.
It's a good one.
That's the most important part. We can't hear it.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. At least I did a flubble, AJ.
Thank you. Appreciate that. That's twice you mentioned it. Twice you mentioned it.
AJ keeps track.
I'm just kidding.
Ashley?
Keep on keeping on.
She's got nothing. She's got nothing. Test pattern.
That's the one I wrote down, actually.
Good.
That's the important one.
Choice.
Nice job. We have a couple more. We'll have you back on, but we're going to link up to your People of Boston podcast. It's you're on all the socials, and we'll link up on the radio station website. Good
great.
Luck
thank
to you, man.
So
we'll talk to you real soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love you guys. This has been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Man, we love your energy.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.